Welcome to Blue Grit Radio, the podcast that explores making better cops for a better community. I'm your host, Eric Tung. I've been an active police officer since 2007. We will dive into the aspects of police culture, health and wellness, leadership, and mindset. You'll hear from experts not only from policing, but all industries as they relate to being our best with purpose, passion, and positivity. Join me as we share stories, lessons, and advice so we can all be better for ourselves, our teams, our families, and our communities. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Blue Grit Radio. This is your host, Eric. Today, I'm joined by Diane Huang with the Blue Hero Project. So, Diane, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric. I'm excited to be here, excited to chat with you. I've been a longtime listener and even observer through social media. Super, super honored and excited to be here.
No, it's very cool. And for the listeners, like, Diane and the Blue Hero Project are here local in my region, like in Western Washington, the Puget Sound area. Like, we can even say King County, right? But like, you go all over, and we'll get into that. But no, it's been awesome to meet you on a number of occasions and communicate over a lot of police issues and just supporting cops and what the Blue Hero Project is all about, and to have received your guys' support, you know, at Kent PD, and then see it through social media at all these neighboring PDs, right, from Seattle to, you know, even Portland, right? And we talked about that recently in a visit. So, no, but thank you so much for hopping on here, bringing some awareness, but then also just doing what you do. And spoiler alert, we're also going to talk about how you're a first responder spouse. And so being in a first responder family, I also want to say thanks for what you do and the awareness that comes with that.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's been a huge honor. You know, our nonprofit didn't start with us planning to start a nonprofit. And I think, like, looking back over the past several years, it's just been such an honor to serve in the way that we serve, and to be even just a part of the law enforcement community and the law enforcement family. Just feel incredibly, incredibly honored to be able to serve and just be a part of the community ourselves.
Yeah. So how did that build? What was the genesis there?
Yeah. So there's actually a good friend of mine. Her name is Taylor. Her husband works at Tacoma PD. And in 2021, she went on her social media and was collecting donations to buy snacks and drinks for local law enforcement agencies. And she had like a little thing at the end of her caption that just said, you know, you could donate towards the work that I'm doing, or you can start something like this in your area and do this in your own area. And so when I saw that, I was like, you know, I think I'll give this a go. We were in law enforcement through 2020, 2021, and it was obviously a very difficult season. And so I was just like, you know, this is an opportunity to just very simply and tangibly show support. And I remember I talked to my husband and I was like, hey, I'm going to post a little something on my social and see if anyone wants to donate money to buy snacks and drinks for a local agency. And I remember telling him that, because I was worried we weren't going to get any donations just coming out of the season that we came out of and were actually still in. And I was like, okay, babe, if no one donates, like, we'll put money together. I'll ask my parents, I'll ask my sister and her husband and my brother, and we'll kind of just pull money together as a family and bring snacks and drinks to what I was thinking would be one Seattle PD precinct. And so I did the little social media post. And from there, we had thousands of dollars that came in within the first week. So I was like, oh, I hope we get like $200.
And how'd that feel?
Oh, amazing. And, you know, it's one of those things where you know the support's there, but you just don't always see it. Mm-hmm. It's maybe not as loud. So when all that money came in, we were just kind of blown away. I was blown away, just by people, because a lot of the people were people from my friend groups and church and not even our law enforcement community. So to have people saying, yes, oh, please, like, I would love to be able to contribute to this was just really encouraging. So that's kind of how it started, as what we thought would be a one-time community project, bring some snacks and drinks to Seattle PD. And from there, it really just organically grew. And that's kind of what I referenced earlier. Like, we didn't go into it planning to start a nonprofit. It was really, let's serve in the way that we can with what's in front of us. And from there, it just organically grew and eventually became a nonprofit organization. So,
yeah, I think that's so cool. I mean, there's so many layers there, and there's so much beauty in this, the personal touch of just like what you simply just want to do. You just want to put out something simple. And a lot of times you say that, right? A lot of times it's literally in how you explain the project, but just to say, hey, like, we just want to show up in this simple way. We want to just bring you some snacks, some refreshments, and just show we care. And I think that there's so much power in that, because like you're kind of mentioning, the attitude of most of the public is supporting. Like, most people don't want to abolish the police. Like, most people are responsibly minded and have enough common sense to know that that's an irrational even concept. But then also, so many people are like, of this quote unquote silent majority that we all kind of talk amongst ourselves in the community to say, hey, most people want us there. People are calling 911. People are kind of giving us a thumbs up, usually during day shift, not really at night. But anywho, like, most people kind of want us there. But for a lot of us, you know, especially in the last few years, we recognized that we would really like that silent majority to be a little less silent, especially in the realms of public policy and the things that we know need to happen so we can actually protect the people that actually need help. But, you know, if you boil it back down, without going on some tangent, if you boil it back down to what we can do as individuals and community members, we can show up in all these different ways. But what you did, I think, is so beautiful in the simplicity, which is just, you know, a few snacks and, you know, some protein shakes, or, you know, like a beef stick and a protein bar, like all these, like a Cliff bar, like that is so helpful just to get that little boost. Cause oftentimes it is just the little acts of encouragement which are so impactful.
Yeah. It's, I think there's so many people that we've even talked to that are like, oh, I'm so grateful for law enforcement and I just didn't know how to show support, or don't know how to show support, or maybe even in the context of drinks and snacks, there's just been some people that are like, hey, I can't really afford to spend, you know, $300, $400 on snacks for an agency, but I would love to send you $20. I would love to send you $50. And So I think it's been really great to just even be a bridge between the community and the agencies, and one of many ways for people to be able to show support and appreciation to officers. So it's been really neat to see the support come in from people all over the region, and from churches and businesses and individuals, and even other law enforcement families, which has been really neat.
Yeah, no, it's super cool. And then even on the practical side, right? Like, a lot of people do want to show some love, give some support, and sometimes it's like trying to buy you your coffee, you're trying to buy your meals. And there are a lot of agencies and organizations that don't allow officers to accept that, right? Because there could be, you know, let's just think back to like back in the day when things can become like preferential treatment. And then it's basically some form of bribery, where the majority of us recognize how the gesture, and we really want to be able to accept because of the noble nature and the kindness in the gesture. And luckily, you know, my own department a number of years back, but during the course of my career, they adjusted the policy to say, hey, you just got to notify what the thing is up your chain. Like, if it is one of these things, a lot of cops just out of general goodness like to pay it forward, right? So if someone buys a coffee, then you buy the next person's. I've caught the bad end of that because someone ordered like five coffees, but it is what it is. But all to say that this could be a different way where people can avoid some of that because you don't know what your local PD may or may not accept. And if you want to just hit, you know, a group of officers in your region, like you can just pitch, yeah, 10, 20, 30, whatever bucks towards Blue Hero Project, and then know that it is going to the collective of a bunch of officers that are going to get a little snack pack, right? A little, you know, some sparkling water, just these little things that just really, I mean, it is such a big deal. It is so cool to get something like that. And sometimes you get, you know, some baked cookies, and depending on the officer, they'll roll the dice. And sometimes it's nice to know the source and truly know the source. But anyway, yeah, I think that is an added protection there.
Yeah. When we, you know, looking back on when we first started, even I remember our first visit to Seattle, we visited the East Precinct, which was Capitol Hill, and coordinated through a spouse at her husband worked out of that precinct. And they were very specific about making sure it was individually wrapped goods, mm-hmm. store-bought goods, just because, especially through 2020 and 2021, like not knowing where certain things come from and mm-hmm. wanting to be safe in that regard. So, so we do our shopping at pretty much all of our shopping at Costco. And
yeah, go Costco.
Go Costco.
Shop,
they have so
local,
much.
Kirkland Sig.
Yes. And they have so many great things. And, you know, we've had the input just with our team, even all of our husbands are officers. So mm-hmm. being able to be like, okay, so what would you guys like? Like, what would be most helpful when you're out on, you're getting called out to something, a scene, or you're on patrol? And that's where the beef sticks and the protein bars and the can of cold brew comes in super handy. Cause it's easy to throw in a patrol bag or in your car and enjoy as the night or the day, you know, goes on. So that's been, Costco's been our go-to. We do have an amazing gal, who makes cookies, and they're incredible cookies, and she's local. So that is probably the only thing we bring that's like homemade and not purchased at Costco.
It's so impressive. Yeah, it has like the print, or how do you even, what's the right way to describe that? Like like someone's badge is like specifically printed with frosting.
Yeah. So she has a really, really neat story. So her husband's an officer here in this area, and moved here from Florida in 2020. And she started this, she had this love and passion for baking and started baking these cookies. And we connected because we actually visited her husband's agency. And she's like, hey, I'd love to bake some cookies for one of your visits. And I was like, okay, picturing maybe like a container of chocolate chip cookies or something. Yeah. And they were like these fabulously decorated cookies. And now we've kind of, she's moved into this, she got like a 3D printer and then a ink printer for the cookies. Mm-hmm. So she's actually able to put all the agency patches on the cookies, and she makes those for our visits. And it's always so fun to be able to add that personal touch with our visits. So,
yeah, that's so cool. So as you grow,
I was going to say, what's her bucket cookies? I have to do a little shout out because.
No, please do.
She's made literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cookies for law enforcement all across the state. And her whole family invests a lot of time and love into those cookies for our visits. So she's amazing.
I love that. Yeah, very cool. Please share that out. Go hit them up. And so as you've grown, I'm curious, like what challenges have you faced, and maybe even logistically, you're like, man, I'm trying to keep up with the growth and also have enough resources and bandwidth. You know, you have a team, it's not just you. Like what does that look like over the last couple of years?
Yeah, it's a great question. So yeah, when we started, it was going to be a one-time community project. And then when all the money came in, it was like, okay, we'll visit maybe like 10 agencies. And then we experienced just more and more money coming in as time went on. So then we shifted to just a state of Washington nonprofit corporation in 2021 and kind of gave a name to the project, Blue Hero Project. And then we actually ended up pursuing 501c3 status as a nonprofit and with mm-hmm. the IRS, and got that in 2022. And throughout this whole process, going from kind of a one-time community project to a 501c3 nonprofit, I personally have had kind of this strong feeling that it's important for us to go deeper and not wider. And that's because we're super passionate about building relationships. So there's kind of, we kind of looked at, okay, how can we serve our state and our region? And there's one way of doing it in which we kind of visit every single agency once. And it's like, here, we're dropping goodies off. We support you and appreciate you. And then really never being able to go back again.
Yeah.
Versus what we really felt was important was being able to build relationships with officers, with their families, with the agency. And so we've kind of taken this deeper approach where we really value being able to do revisits at agencies and be back. And so with that, though, it's definitely a challenge because we have the desire to visit all the agencies and mm-hmm. to show support and appreciation to all the officers. And it's something we would love to do. And I think if we had unlimited resources, unlimited time, man, I would love to spend every single day visiting agencies all across the region. But with that has had to just, we've had to approach it in a way to where we can build relationships and that we can also sustain the work that we're doing. And that's kind of like a big piece is we want to be in it for the long haul. And with that, just requires taking a sustainable approach, sustainable with funds and sustainable with just time. Mm-hmm. So that's been a huge challenge, though. I think it's for us in this season, I think it's been a good approach. But it's hard. We even just at our annual board meeting had a conversation of, okay, how do we prioritize where we visit and how do we respond when agencies or spouses reach out looking for a visit? And how do we determine how often we're doing revisits? And it's an ongoing conversation that I think we'll constantly be looking and really just reexamining, like, how can we serve well in this season? Because I think seasons change, right? Whether it's business, family life, nonprofit, ministry, seasons change. And it's so important to be able to look at how you're serving and continually ask, are we serving well in the season? Do we need to shift anything? So I would say our desire is to work through the entire list of agencies that are in Washington and be able to visit them all. But we also recognize that's just going to take some time. It's just going to take some time to work through all the agencies in our state because there's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. And I think that there's so many tangible takeaways. And I'm curious on my own because you're building something awesome and positive. And with that comes momentum. And as people grow into it, you have to decide as a board, as a leadership team, like what the focus is. And there's no right or wrong answer, right? There's going to be, as someone builds steam, they're going to look for volume, right? Maybe that's to reach out to the tri-state area, but then you recognize that that's going to dilute things and that's going to take things away as you have to manage more people and more literal distance for logistics, right? Whereas I appreciate the look at hey, you're going to invest in, you know, kind of what's close, build relationship. And so impact is a big word and theme for me. And I try to keep that in my North Star as far as, you know, how I interact with people in my agency, in the region, and trying to do what I'm doing with police, you know, through the podcast or through writing. And but that can be distracting at times, at least for me. And I'm trying to share that, you know, sometimes it does feel like in this media space, you're wondering how you can grow it. But a lot of times it might not be super tangible, or it might not have like a statistic behind it with how many people are seeing what you're doing, right? It's more like, well, how is it being felt? And maybe that's what I'm trying to say is like my takeaway from what you've shared of Blue Hero Project and where you guys are going and growing.
Yeah, I think in all areas of life, there's always a lot of really good things you can say yes to. Mm-hmm. And a lot of time it's determining, okay, what's my best yes now? And yeah. I know as a team, like we've had to have those conversations of what's our best yes right now, and how can we care for the people we've kind of reached at this time? How can we care for them well, and how can we steward our work and this organization well in this season? And it's hard. There's that space between like where you are and where you want to go, and being patient and moving mm-hmm. at a pace that allows you to just serve well and with excellence and with integrity. And pace is an important thing. So
yeah,
we're constantly talking about that, but yeah.
Yeah. That resonates with me, right? Because we can recognize in whatever the thing is, whether it's just police work in general, like if you don't sustain pace, if you don't have a sustainable pace, then you burn out, and that doesn't do anyone any good, right? To have this short-lived temporary thing. You know, I think one thing I just want to throw out there is that in light of like how you're growing, I appreciate the recent visit to, you know, my team. And you know, in some ways I felt selfish in saying like, hey, like I know you've been to Kent PD before, but at the same time, like I was so close to observing like certain crews responding to Trooper Ray Seberg's shooting. And for me, I was like, man, there's like, we have so many losses in this job, and it's so rare that we get the type of win in Ray's survival. And I know how it affected them. I saw that up close. So I just appreciate recognizing maybe what I'm trying to do, not just to make it about my guys. What I'm trying to do is reflect on how, you know, for the whole, being like law enforcement in the region, like I appreciate the willingness, maybe the tacit or, you know, the inevitable willingness of the whole to share like a larger piece, you know, to Kent PD and the guys on the night crews that responded. And because that does take away, you know, in some regard, it takes away time. It takes away literal snacks, you know, from maybe an agency that hasn't had the benefit to meet you and your team. But at the same time, like, I hope that people, when they think about like, oh, have they been out to visit us, or we don't have like that, maybe we don't have an organization like Blue Hero Project in our county. But maybe that also inspires others to try to fill that in some way, or other community groups to do as you're doing, right? And that's a lot of why I want to kind of highlight you and your story and how your team is growing.
Yeah, I was actually talking with one of our team members, and I was like, man, if we just had like $1 million, it would be so fun to just every day travel somewhere. And because we're just so passionate about it and we love what we do. And I personally, like, it just brings so much joy to be able to visit agencies and to be able to look officers in the eyes and say thank you for everything that they do. But with that, it's also like recognizing that we all play a part. And I think even when I think of how Blue Hero Project started, it started with a police wife, you know, in Pierce County, who was raising money to bring snacks and drinks to local agencies down there. And so I think it's beautiful even to connect with other individuals and other organizations who have the desire to do something similar or do something similar in other states and other parts of the U.S. even. There's so much to learn from so many amazing people that are showing support to agencies all across the country. And there's so much to be said about collaboration and supporting other people doing amazing things. And it's just been, it's been a lot of fun for us to even just through this work connect with other organizations and other people who are doing their part to show support to law enforcement. So we're just grateful that there's a whole team of people and a whole group of people who serve so faithfully.
Yeah. And you're such a model for that, your group, but also you specifically. So I already know that you're going to kind of just try to shirk away from that, but I want to ask, you know, you have this project, you have this service and this dedication. And a lot of times, like, you know, whether it was like at my agency or seeing on social media, like your kids are along for the ride or they're along for the road trip. And like, it's so cool to see that. It's also, it takes a lot, right? Like you're helping run this nonprofit. You have a family, you're a first responder spouse. That's a lot. Like, it's a lot without the nonprofit. And so like, where does all that come from? Where does all that love and, you know, dedication and service come from? Because it is a lot. And I am very impressed. I'm very inspired. And I think that there's a lot of people that are going to be wondering, like, how does Diane do it?
Well, I, you know, I think for me personally, if I just speak for myself, like, my relationship with the Lord and the way I desire to serve Him is what empowers me to serve others. And so I think all things in life, whether it's, you know, how you work, ministry, family, I think being able to serve in the way that He's calling you to serve really enables you and empowers you to serve well. So I, you know, from the gate will say, like, the Lord has really opened my eyes to the community that we serve and has given me the strength to serve in the way that we serve. I also think, in addition to that, there's the whole family being on board. And mm-hmm. I think when I look at the work of Blue Hero Project and what we do in the visits, I couldn't personally do it without my incredible husband, who has been cheering me on and supporting me and encouraging me and praying for me since the very beginning. So I think there's, even with like our very first conversation around this nonprofit and this work, there was a conversation that we had of like, yeah, let's talk about this. Let's pray about this. And we both together felt really great about serving in this way. And mm-hmm. So that, I think, has been a huge part. Like, I can't serve others and support others without being supported as well. And so I think even our team, it's, you know, it takes a team, it takes a village. And I feel absolutely honored to serve alongside such incredible people that help make it all possible. So yeah, but it's a lot, but it's also just, I think if I look at like our life, it's just, we're constantly like, how can we serve people and ingraining that and kind of walking that out for our kids to see, like, what does it look like to serve others and to care for others? And, you know, I think even before Blue Hero Project, we did a lot of that even just within our local church. And so it's showing our kids, like, this is what we do. Like, we shop for snacks for officers and we visit agencies. And, you know, our kids, they've probably, I was actually tallying up, I think we've done 145 agency visits in the last 3 years. And our kids have probably been in tow for like 120 of those, yeah, which is a lot.
Yeah, it does look that way, yeah.
They've been to most of them. And so through, if you look over the last 3 years, you know, there's been times where they're super pumped and excited to visit agencies. And there's times when they're like, we don't want to go. We want to stay home and play. And so there's been so much about just teaching them that this is what we do and this is who we are. We serve and we care for people and we encourage people. And yeah, so as far as just like family life, it's been a lot of fun. And I think using it even as an opportunity to teach our kids about serving others and working hard is something that's always been really, really important to us along the way. So I don't know if that answered your question. That it was does. Kind of like a rambly answer.
No, it does. It hit a lot of angles. And I think that what resonates is, you know, your faith and being directly aligned and informed or informing of your purpose. Right. And I think that that's something that the audience definitely resonates with, regardless of their faith or their perception of faith. Like, purpose is, I think, where you get more people that may not have organized religion as part of their lives. But like, we all are part of something greater. And I think that's where we can have commonality. And then we all recognize there's goodwill and there's good energy and there's positivity and there's good and not so good, or good and evil, as however you want to conceptualize it. But what I appreciate is like the collaborative, positive energy of it. You know, I do believe that there's a higher power, right? And I do think that there is this notion of we're not in control of everything, but we can certainly control certain aspects. And I just love the positivity, and I love that energy. That it does seem that, like, when I look at how you navigate with your family and Blue Hero Project, it is an example where positivity is something that just builds more of, right? It's a multiplier. It's exponential in a lot of ways because of what it can continue to feed and grow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. And I feel like there's a certain amount of being inspired and building momentum based on relationship. And I think if I look back on the last 3 years, we have met so many incredible people. Just so many incredible officers and families. And I think the more you get to know the people that you serve, it really stirs up that passion to continue to serve and to have endurance in serving. So I think that's why the relationship piece is so important for us, because when you serve the law enforcement community and you get to know the men and women serving communities and you get to know their families at home, like, you just love them, and it makes you so excited to continue to serve. And it, I think it's very humbling to be able to serve so many people that are just absolutely incredible. So I will say there's, like, I think, you know, when you're focused on, like, as a nonprofit, I think if I'm focused on the amount of money we raised or how many agencies we visited, it's really easy to get to kind of have your motivation go up and down based on the numbers. Yeah. Oh, we're lower in funds this month, or, oh, we've done this many visits. And while I think all those things are super, super important, I think when you're focused on the people you serve and being able to know them and serve them well, it just creates a consistent desire and motivation to keep going in the serving, because that's what it's all about. It's about the people. And I know for myself, that's been something that keeps me going, is just the relationships that we've built, and even just the relationships with people that have supported us and helped make it possible. So,
yeah, I think that you put it so well. And that's what I think I was getting at earlier in the conversation, when I was like, it can be distracting, where I think it's kind of a Western culture thing, right? Where we're so data driven and we're so metrics and performance driven through those traditional things, right? And it's only natural in our type of culture where you want to help and you want to help more, right? So you have this much money coming in, which means you can do this many visits, and then you have more volunteers coming in. You're like, cool, like, let's keep growing. And you have more donations coming in. You're like, okay, cool, where are we getting the donations? And then you're pushing social, then you're marketing, then you're doing events. And then, is the tail wagging the dog, right? Is it taking away from the spirit and your own enjoyment, right? Your own connection, your human connection. And so I love that you highlight that, because I think that regardless of who's listening and the angle that they're coming in on, but that goodwill aspect and that positivity aspect, like, it's really hard not to chase a metric. But then ultimately, we know that when we think about impact, right, when we think about purpose, it's not about that, right? These are awesome things, right? It's only natural to want to grow Blue Hero Project every year, or, you know, maybe even the quarter. But that's not the stuff. And I'm sure that comes into discussion with your board. And it's awesome as it grows, and I'm sure it will. But I love how you recognize that and how to navigate that.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like I've had conversations about, like, okay, if social media disappeared,
yeah,
what would be left of Blue Hero Project? Because everything is so social media driven these days. And that's a lot, which I'm so grateful for. That's how so many people have heard about us. That's how so many people have ended up donating, is through social media. But I want to make sure that if social media were to disappear, who would we be as a team and as an organization? And would we have relationships beyond social? And if social went away, would we still be serving people well? And I know we've had conversations, I think, even in the past about this, because we love doing our agency photos and photos of the officers, and being able to highlight the agencies we visited and the incredible, incredible men and women that are serving communities, and really put a face to maybe the agency, or faces to the agency. But we never want our work to be about what's being posted on social, or about the group photo. I feel like even just asking, okay, if social media went away, or we didn't have it, or it just disappeared, like, would we still be serving well and in the face-to-face with agencies? And it's been a good kind of, like, checkpoint for myself to just check in and not get distracted by social media. Use it as a tool, but not depend on it so much that we miss out on opportunities to serve and connect face to face.
Yeah, no, that's huge. And we have talked about that, and I'm glad you brought it up. That's literally where I was going to go next, is that, you know, we've even had discussions where afterwards we'll text, we'll be like, oh man, we forgot to do the photo. And it's not about that, but it also, like, I'm pretty opinionated in this, if agencies and officers feel comfortable with posting good stuff, like, why not? That's not the reason, right? That's not the purpose, but it grows so much positivity and positive energy, right? There's so much bad press out there. Like, why not lean into the good, right? And so that's something I got much more comfortable with in doing recruiting, is that, hey, we need photos, anyone willing and able to take them or remember to take them. And a lot of officers are, which is awesome. And I've even heard other agency reps or different officers say, hey, like, we purposely don't put this on because that's not the point. I'm like, okay, I respect that. But at the same time, like, when people in your agency or people in the community are doing awesome things, or you're partnering and doing awesome things, like, why deny that, right? Like, why hide that if people are open to it? So I love when people are doing good stuff on social media. It's not for the photo op, but let's, like, recognize the good and the positivity and the inspiring nature of something like a photo op.
Yeah, I think when we started doing kind of group photos, it was a lot of times just for people who had donated and people who had supported us. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's one thing for us to say, okay, we're visiting Kent PD. And for some people, they don't have a picture. Like, I don't want to say it's like cold or dry, but it's like, okay, Kent PD, it's a building, it's a law enforcement agency. But when you see a photo of men and women who are husbands, wives, moms, dads, sons, daughters, and you can actually see the people serving the Kent community, I don't know. I think it's just so impactful to be able to see, like, our work is to serve people. Mm-hmm. People who are people, and they have families, and they have passions and hobbies. And yes, they put on a uniform every day and serve their community faithfully, day in and day out. But even beyond that, they're people. And so we just love, even in photos, to be able to show the people that we're serving. And I think to remind our community that these are men and women serving their community and doing so with such they're sacrificing so much to serve their communities, and they're also people. And, you know, when we're out shopping at Costco, those snacks are going to people. And so we love the group photos. We love being able to just highlight the different agencies we visit and all the people serving all across the region. So,
yeah, no, I think that's fantastic. And I think that just brings this heightened awareness of, again, the multi-angle benefits of doing that. You know, one part I want to come back to is when you talked about support. And as a first responder spouse, I recognize the extreme support that first responders need, police officers need, from the family, from their partners to be successful in this endeavor. It is a lot, right? And it is a lot for the family. Like, the family essentially signs up, you know, whether they're like fully on board or whether they're like, hey, like, yeah, we're here. It affects the family in a significant way. First off, I kind of wanted to highlight and pay some respect and some kudos, virtual fist bump, to Davin, like, for being supportive of your vision and your desire to grow this. Because similarly, you know, like, as I said, it's enough to be a first responder spouse and, you know, running a household with the shift work and all these things, to be the stable side, you know, whether you're working a nonprofit, whether you're staying at home as a spouse, whether you have a full career, there is a degree of weight that non-first responder carries that the first responder generally does not. And for those, like, shout out to the double first responder families, like, they're both pulling to competing shifts, or I've even heard where partners purposefully work opposite days with very little overlap to cover childcare. Like, man, that's a lot on the family, and hats off to you for making it work, you know, in sacrifice for your kids. So all to say, like, there's a couple questions I should probably split up in topics to pay acknowledgement, but I love that aspect where as a partnership, you know, as a marriage, you have, it sounds like, found so much alignment in what your goals are, what your purpose, your new unified purpose. It sounds like faith is a big part of that. I suppose if I want to give you a specific question, where do you think, what kinds of things do you think have been helpful for you and your husband in navigating all this life that you're thrusting yourselves into or is thrust upon you, and how you're juggling these big, awesome things you're doing?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think a lot of it comes back to our faith. So when Davin and I met, he was actually coming out of a season of being in full-time ministry. So he was college pastor, youth pastor, worship pastor. And so when we met, he was not in law enforcement. And when we got married, he was not in law enforcement. And we kind of envisioned that he would always be in full-time ministry. That was kind of like, if you were to say I signed up for something in getting married, it was like, okay, he'll be a pastor of some sort. So, but through that season and just not going into full-time ministry and exploring other options, law enforcement was one of those options. And I think I've had a lot of people ask like, oh man, like when you got married, he wasn't in law enforcement. He wasn't even pursuing it. What is that like? And I think there's two parts to it. And I think one is it's something that we really were like, okay, let's explore this and pray about it and see if it's a good fit and see if there's an open door, and which there was. But also for me as his wife, seeing the fulfillment that he has had in this career and seeing how, like, going back to purpose, it is, he's right where God wants him to be. And so for me as his wife, I will make every effort to cheer him on and support him and celebrate the fact that he's right where God wants him to be. And I think with that has brought so much peace, because it's a hard career. It's like you said, it impacts the whole family. It impacts me. It impacts our kids, extended family. But knowing it's where he's supposed to be has just brought so much peace. And I think it's me being able to align maybe my plans for him or thoughts of him, expectations, with who God has created him to be. And he is created to be a protector and a defender. And that's who he is. And he serves, and he serves well. And so it's been so much, it's brought so much joy for me to see him really thriving in his role as a police officer, because I just know it's what he's supposed to be doing. And I think that has brought just a lot of peace to my mind and my heart to know he's doing exactly what God has called him to do. And the best thing I can do is cheer him on in that and support him. And I think that's been a lot of what has helped us when things get hard, is just going back to this is where we're supposed to be. And we want to be wherever God calls us to be. So this is where we are. And I think that's been a big piece of it, is just knowing it's where he's supposed to be. And it's kind of allowed us to dive fully into that. But I think with that, and I touched on that initially, it was just, we've had lots of conversations and prayed about a lot of things and talked through a lot of things, even going into law enforcement, and every step along the way, even if he's exploring other roles within our department, it's always important for us to have a conversation and be able to be on the same page.
Yeah.
In what and how he's serving, because it does impact the whole family. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. I love that. I love how proud of him you clearly are. And I love how much alignment is through, like, your unified purpose. And, you know, the clear tie-in that you've spoken to is faith. And I think that for other law enforcement families, what I would venture to, what I would suppose for those that don't feel aligned or don't feel on board is maybe the lack of connectedness to what bigger purpose there is. And for most law enforcement, there is something like of this job. Like, why do you need to do this job? It's like, well, because I'm part of something bigger, right? Which is to influence safety on this big level, like law and order, keep the fabric of society, like keep the chaos away, right? And if families grapple with that and partners grapple with that, where they don't see that connection, or maybe they just haven't fully developed it. I think that's where there's that disconnect, where it becomes a burden rather than this asset. And where you recognize, and where you're even verbalizing some of the things and seeing him in this role, right? Where you get excited, and I see it on your face and I hear it in your voice, is that you know he's where he needs to be. And that might not be common in a lot of families, especially if there is this disconnect at home, right? And so a lot of times we talk about work-life balance, and I think that it's very relevant to bring up this needing to connect with the family, needing to connect with your spouse over these things, and finding the right balance to share not only in what you're doing, but why you're doing it. I think that's key. And I love the fact that you're presenting this model where you talk as a partnership. Hey, how does this affect the family? And what are your goals? Or, okay, do you want to look at this assignment? Or do you want to look at this shift or what have you? There's everything on the spectrum. Some are very much like, almost jokingly sometimes, like, hey, my spouse wants me on day shift, so I'm on day shift. I'd rather work nights, but it works for the family. But I love that. Like, I love supporting that kind of, chuckling up, like, yeah, night shift can be more fun, but hey, like, we got to be family first. And that's the family at home. And at the same time, I love recognizing that there can be a middle ground between there can be a responsible balance to being supportive, right? Because some people are very much like, hey, like, my police officer is wanting to do this thing, and I just gotta support as best I can in that role. Well, I mean, that depends, right? Because if it really disrupts the family that much, then maybe that is not the ideal role. And so I just love how you kind of demonstrate or explain that.
Yeah, I think having like honesty, and I think that's something I'm so grateful for, is we've been able to have conversations even around him promoting. Like, we've had conversations like, should he put in for a promotion? And for us being able to come together and just be honest about, oh, here's kind of what I fear about if you do this or don't do that, or this is what I'm kind of uneasy about, or this is what I'm excited about. And I think being able to communicate, and I think just create a safe place for one another to talk about the pros and cons to all the decisions coming with law enforcement, where he can just honestly express where he's at, and I can honestly express where I am at. And I think even just be patient. I think that's something that Davin, my husband, has exemplified, like not rushing in to anything. Like, even going into law enforcement, it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to rush in and we're just going to do this. It was, let's have patience and let's be intentional and thoughtful when exploring this as a career. And then even when it comes to the agency that he's working for and where he was going to be applying, and being able to approach it from a paced, patient way, I think has been helpful, even in the conversation of working in different units or promoting, or should I be a training officer? All these things. I think being able to approach it with patience, and kind of goes back even like what we were talking about with Blue Hero, like having the long-term perspective and like the long haul in mind. And I'm just so grateful for my husband's perspective in that regard of like wanting to be able to serve well in the long run. Mm-hmm. Comes with just not being rushed into certain decisions, but having the patience sometimes for us to even get on the same page. So instead of jumping into something, if we're not on the same page, like let's give it some time and wait for kind of the dust to settle so we can be on the same page before we step into something. So I think that's been a huge thing for us, is to kind of have that long-term perspective and be able to take our time when making decisions. And I know sometimes sometimes you have to make quick decisions, right? But when you can take the time to really think it through and talk it through, it just, I think it can only benefit you.
I love that. You know, there's so many topics that we spoke to. And one thing that I'm noticing in, I'll say, your spirit and maybe how you and your family and Davin, like, all pull this together, I'm noticing themes and indications of a lot of abundance mindset and a lot of gratitude. What are your thoughts on that assessment? And do you recognize what you do to actively enhance that?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think even like the abundance piece, like even in serving and specifically with Blue Hero Project, I think there's been just this thought process that like we are serving God, and when we serve God, He provides. And so even with Blue Hero Project, it's, we just trust that God is going to provide for us and for our work. And He does that through so many incredible donors. And I think with that, recognizing that it's not, even amongst other organizations, that it's not like a pie necessarily, where if we promote or encourage another organization in what they're doing, it takes away from what we're doing because it's very limited. I think it's recognizing that we all have a role, and there's space for everyone to serve and for everyone to walk in their purpose. And so I think with that, I think that's really impacted how we serve as an organization, and not feeling like, oh, like it's, I think some people think it's scary to collaborate or promote or highlight other people doing amazing things because it'll take away from what we're doing. But being able to really approach it from, no, there's room for everyone. There's room for everyone at the table. And how can we serve well in the way that we serve, but also how can we encourage other organizations and support other organizations, because we know there is room for all of us to serve. And we as an organization just want to be able to cheer on and support as many other organizations as we can. And I think even just like the gratitude piece is a big thing. And I think it takes being intentional, even just from personally within our marriage, within our family. Law enforcement life is hard. And it's easy to get distracted by the things that are hard or challenging or not going well. And those things will always be there. We were even talking about just like agencies as a whole. There's so many different agencies, and every agency has its own culture. And but every agency has its strengths and its weaknesses.
Areas to improve.
Opportunities to improve. And that's everywhere. And so it's really just a lot of intentionally, like, I think being real about the things that are hard. Because I think sometimes maybe with gratitude, it's like, we just need to be grateful for everything and everything's wonderful and happy. But I think there's an element of gratitude where it's important to be real about the things that are hard and are challenging, and being able to recognize that and also recognize the things that are going great and be able to be grateful for the things that are good. And I think that creates a depth with gratitude, to be able to say, hey, like, this is really hard. And this part of his career is really difficult. And this maybe has taken a toll on our family. But with that, also being able to acknowledge all of the good and the things, like when I look at law enforcement, I'm like, okay, there's been a lot that has been really, really hard. But when I look at the good, which has been the people and the community, the friends that have become like family, I mean, the law enforcement community is incredible. Like when you meet other officers and families, I mean, they're just incredible. And some of our closest friends we have met through law enforcement, and they serve their community. And I just feel like being able to see the good and intentionally remind yourself of the good is, it's so important, because there's always going to be hard stuff, but there's also always going to be good stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like being real and honest about the hard, but also being intentional to remember and recall the good things as well. So,
yeah, I think you hit it on the head. Yeah. I mean, intention is everything. And yeah, it's not everything is awesome. Like, you know, sunshine and rainbows, like, yeah, there's really crappy things, but you can't, I truly believe you can't recognize the good without recognizing the bad, right? You can't have true pleasure without pain, you know? And so with that, there is that duality, but there is such a beneficial point to reflecting on this in a positive, constructive way and recognizing, like, yeah, things are hard. It doesn't mean they're dismal. It doesn't mean it's, you know, it's, there's no end in sight. And these hard things can create growth, right? They can create resilience. I mean, essentially, that's what adversity does for a lot of people, or it shuts people down and creates this limited, you know, dismal, kind of victimhood mindset, you know, whether it's the hardship of a family and what shift work and first responder work can do. Okay. Yes. Like I won't deny it's hard, but I will challenge and I will want us to all constructively insert. Yes. And here's what we can do about it. Yes. And here are the practices. Here are the routines. Here are the, you know, the intentional, you know, family date nights, you know, the little things like how we can get aligned and get together and build on our bonds, right? Like, and the things that first responder family life can afford our family. It's not all things that just take away. And so I think that's really helpful. And I appreciate how you broke that down for us.
Thank you.
I want to be mindful of time and your time. And thank you so much. We've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything that you'd like to leave the listeners with? About Blue Hero Project, about your experiences, you know, as a first responder spouse, and also please tell everyone where they can find the Blue Hero Project and get in touch.
Yeah, thank you. This has been a lot of fun. So I just really appreciate you having me on here. But yeah, Blue Hero Project, we are on social media. So we're on Instagram and Facebook as, for Instagram, it's the Blue Hero Project. We also have a website, blueheroproject.org. And, so we have our website, social, and yeah, I don't even know if I really explained fully what we do.
Let's go there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm realizing I might have left that out in the beginning. We probably went on in conversation, but we kind of have three primary ways that we serve. And it's been really cool to see how those, like the ways we serve, have expanded over the last 3 years. Kind of the core of what we do, which is how we started, is doing the agency visits. And so we'll visit usually 3 to 4 agencies a month. And we bring a whole wagon of snacks and drinks. And again, just a very simple, tangible way to say thank you to officers. So that's kind of the consistent primary way that we serve. We also recently started hosting law enforcement family days alongside Seattle PD's Mounted Patrol Unit. So they, Seattle PD has a Mounted Patrol unit, one of the last ones actually in the state. So officers that are on horseback. And so they have a private facility, and they have been gracious enough to open up their space to law enforcement families all across the region. So we'll have officers bring their families, and they get to spend time with the horses. They get to spend time connecting with other law enforcement families. And it's really just a great space for law enforcement families to just be refreshed and to have fun. Who doesn't love horses? I mean, there's something therapeutic about horses. So we're just so grateful for their partnership. I think we're planning our 8th Law Enforcement Family Day event that's coming up in April. So that's another area that we serve. And lastly, we have been able to set aside money for meals, DoorDash gift cards for officers who are either injured on the job or involved in a critical incident. And a lot of that stems from relationships. So if it's an officer that we have some sort of connection with, or maybe connection with the agency, it's something we love being able to just offer. And again, it's just a simple, tangible way to let that family know that we are thinking of them and praying for them and just want to support them. So those are kind of the three main ways that we serve, and all of that you can see on our social and our website. But yeah, that's kind of the gist for Blue Hero. But yeah, I just want to thank you, Eric. I've been following you for quite a while on social and with your podcast. And I think you're just such a gift to our local law enforcement community. I think you're someone who always looks for ways to help other people serve well. And you do that. You lead by example very well. But you're a servant leader. And I just think the work that you have done, even within your own agency and helping with recruiting in a time when recruiting is really hard, I've seen how you've served your own agency, but you've also come alongside other officers and other agencies to help them as well. And so I just want to thank you for all the ways that you serve our greater community, our law enforcement community, and you advocate for wellness. And one thing I love about your approach and your podcast and your content is you advocate for officer wellness, but you also advocate for the wellness of the family. Mm-hmm. And you tie in the importance of officer wellness with how the family's doing and how are things at home. And I think that's just so important. So I just want to thank you for all the time that you invest into serving others and putting together content and really advocating for our law enforcement community.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. And it's very humbling, and it's a lot, but at the same time, what I share is from a point of what I've seen in my career and what I've seen in my own life and then that of others around me. And so much of that is just, again, trying to insert like an abundance mindset and recognizing, hey, the better we are at home, the better we'll be at work, the better we'll be at work, the better we'll be at home. Or maybe even I'll add an asterisk, because a lot of times we feel so good at work, but it's because we're potentially out of balance and we're distracting ourselves from these other things. Maybe we're productive at work, but are we really showing up the best way for ourselves and even our department or even the community members that we're trying to serve if we're not attending to our own needs and our own self-care and that of our families? It's really hard to reconcile those things. And it's not to disparage anyone that's in a tough spot. You know, certainly I've had the times that I've been a better husband, a better partner, a worse husband, worse partner, better dad, less patient dad, right? These are all things I'm literally continuing to try to learn about. So I'm by no means an expert. I'm just someone that is trying to share what I can from my angle, but I really appreciate the connection. I appreciate the compliment and the encouragement and the collaboration with, you know, people like you, I think, that are in our community. And yeah, it is so much more about the greater community, maybe even like capital C community, whether you want to make that about law enforcement community or everybody, like literally who we're in the fabric of, you know, living day to day as neighbors and all that. So, no, thank you so much. And thank you again for being on the show. And I'm excited to see you continue to do your thing and connect.
Awesome. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of Blue Grit Radio. As always, support this community by subscribing, giving us a 5-star review, and following, liking, and sharing posts on Blue Grit Wellness on Instagram. You can reach me there or email me at bluegritwellness@gmail.com. Be well and stay gritty.